Praise the Lord. God is great. Amen. He really is. Thank you so much. What a blessing. Good music. Offertory. Where's the strings quartet? That was fantastic. I enjoyed that. I love it when our young people use their talents for the Lord. It is such a blessing. And there's a lot of young people that have lots of talent, but they don't use it for the Lord. And it's just so good when we get to have that. And I believe that group is going to be in the fine arts competition. Is that right? And that is a blessing. Very, very good. Father, thank you for this time that we can look at your word and study it and be challenged by it. I pray you'll just help us to think hard this morning about some things and think about our lives. And if there's anyone here who's not saved, Lord, certainly we would want them to trust Christ and be saved today. And I pray for Christians, Lord, that you'll challenge us with the message in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning's message is kind of part one of tonight's, and tonight will be part two. They're not from the same passage, but they're kind of the same idea. I want to talk to you about the witnesses against you. The witnesses against you. Here in Joshua 24, we read about an interesting witness in verse 26. Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. Joshua said unto all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness." You see it, a witness unto us, for it hath heard. Now, I've never seen a rock's ears before, but that's what the Bible says, that it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. And it's kind of in other words, it's like a memorial, but it heard the words, it says, of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. Now, the people in verse 15, go back to verse 15, the people, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. In other words, Joshua, God's man, is saying, hey, who are you going to choose today? You decide who you're going to choose, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. He says this, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He says, I'm going to serve God. My family's going to serve God. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight, preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And they're saying, we're gonna, you know, we will serve God. We're not gonna mess around. We're not gonna serve these idols, and we know who God is. We're gonna serve God. And verse 21, the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. All right, verse 24, people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. Joshua said, all right, here's this stone we're going to set up here. This stone has heard what you said, and this stone will be a witness unto what you said. This stone is going to be the witness, and again, I understand it's a memorial to remind them of what they said, but literally, the Bible says the stone heard it, and the stone is a witness. Now, how many of you have been in court where there's witnesses? All right? I'm not saying whether you were accused or if you were the witness or whatever, but anyway, there's witnesses involved. Now, the judge will make the decision based on the law as to what happens. There is an accuser or a prosecutor who says that the accused broke the law. And then he has to prove that. He has to prove that the person who's been accused actually broke the law. And then they may call witnesses. All right? And a witness is someone who says, I saw this or I heard this. And of course, there's a defense attorney who's defending the one who is accused and says the accuser didn't do it. And they do everything they can to prove that the person who is accused did not do it. And so there's obviously the one who's accused. They're either guilty or they're not guilty. And, of course, in America, you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. And so there has to be proof and all that. So if you've been to a trial, you would understand when we talk about witnesses what we're talking about. Now, obviously, God is the judge. And as far as heaven is concerned, God is the judge. In Revelation 12 and verse 10, the Bible says Satan is the accuser of men. Satan accuses you and I. It's amazing how we don't think about that often, and we should think about it a lot. Because Satan, he tempts us to sin, and then when we sin, he says, "Look, God, what they did." I mean, think about that. You don't like tattletales, right? Nobody likes a tattletale, but even worse than that is that guy, and there's always that guy or that girl that talks everybody into doing something wrong, then they kind of get out of the way, right? And then everybody does wrong, then they run and tell the authority everybody did wrong. You know, that's the way the devil is. He's the accuser. Well, obviously for the Christian, we have a great defense attorney. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And really, when it comes to heaven or hell, because of Jesus Christ, we're not guilty. Amen. Because of the blood of Jesus, we are not guilty where we would have to go to hell. But the truth of the matter is, we're always guilty of something. Because we're sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the main thing I want you to think about are these witnesses. And I want you to think about the witnesses that the accuser can call. The witnesses that Satan can call to literally be a witness as to this person has done wrong. I talk about Job a lot, just preached about Job and do often because I love the book of Job. But, you know, God said, "Consider my servant Job." And I believe with all my heart, the devil looked for everything he could to nail Job. I think the devil was looking for all kinds of, he was looking for some witnesses to catch Job. We see that in Daniel. You know, hey, we want to, these men, these evil men were trying to get Daniel removed from being one of the king's advisors and one of the leaders in the kingdom. And those evil men, they looked for everything, said, "We can't find anything wrong." They were looking for witnesses against Daniel to get him in trouble. Now, obviously, They couldn't find any. Said the only thing we can find that he does wrong is how he worships his God. And but these witnesses, you know, in my mind, I go to the text and verse 27, the Bible says, "Joshua said to the people, 'This stone shall be a witness unto us. It hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God.'" In my mind, I wonder if Satan, when that first person broke their covenant, they said, "Oh, we'll do what God says. Oh, we'll obey God." I just wonder if Satan didn't say, "God, ask the stone if they didn't do it or not. Did they say they would keep your word? Did they say they would obey? Did they say they would follow you? Ask that stone." The stone was a witness. You know, the devil will use just about anything he can to point a finger at us. To accuse us. And do you know that most of the time, in fact, just about all the time you're accused, you're guilty. What would be the witness? They even said earlier, they had said, we'll witness each other saying this, that we're going to obey, that we're going to do right, that we're going to keep God's word, that we're going to serve him. I mean, each of them. And if they were honest, they would have testimony. Yeah, he said that. No, he hasn't been faithful. Yeah, he said it. No, he hasn't obeyed. Yes, he said that God would be his God and he wouldn't worship idols, but yeah, he did worship idols. And eventually the accused would have to say, "You know what? I'm guilty. I'm guilty." By the way, that's what we say when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. We say, "I'm guilty. I have sinned against God. I have sinned and I cannot pay my price for my sin. I don't want to go to hell. Jesus paid the price for me. I need Jesus to be my Savior." That's what you say when you get saved. You recognize that you've sinned. In my mind, I think, you know, what if Satan were to say, "I call the stone as a witness. Yes, they said it." I don't know if a stone could talk or not, but the Bible says it was a witness. Would Satan use that against a person? Well, I can tell you this. He hates every one of us. And if you're lost and he accuses you of sin, you're guilty and the price is hell. Period. There is no way around that. Now, I know that's not a popular thing to talk about, but it is the Bible. It is why Jesus died on the cross, because we are going to hell because of our sin. Jesus died so we don't have to go to hell. Jesus died. We deserve it. Oh, there's no question about it. Satan says, I accuse. He's right. We sinned. We did it. He can line the witnesses up, and there's many of them that would testify they did it. Guilty. And that's why if you're not saved today, you need to get on this altar, let someone take a Bible, open it up, show you how you can be saved today, how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. I'll show you. You're totally outnumbered because the witnesses that are against you. Thank God at the age of 17, I am so glad that I recognize the witnesses all lined up against me. I'm guilty. No question, I'm guilty. I need the blood of Jesus. I need to be saved. I cannot get to heaven any other way because I'm guilty of my sin. The witnesses are lined up. If you're lost today, that means you will go to hell for all eternity. And if you're saved today, understand, Satan wants to mess up your life. He wants to mess up your life. I believe with all my heart, he looked for something against Job when God said, consider my servant Job. But there weren't any witnesses at that point that could say, yes, Job said this, or Job did this, or Job did that. Look, if you will, real quick at Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk. Or as some folks might say, Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 9. Interesting little passage. Just read this in my Bible reading this week. Habakkuk 2 and verse 9. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. Look at verse 11. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. Isn't that something? Verse 12. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and establisheth a city by iniquity. Here's a house that was built by the blood of others, either through war or through cheating and lying. I don't know. But the stone cries out, this house was built by the blood of somebody else. And the beam in the wall, it answers the stone in the wall and says, that's right. That's exactly what happened. That's how this house was built. Wow. I read that. I thought, you know, that's amazing. I just started to think, would the devil call the boards of the house as witnesses? Would the devil call the stone as a possible witness? I mean, the Bible says They're crying out as witnesses that this house is a bloody house. This house was built by the blood of others. Here's the thing. You and I are accountable. And I know God sees everything. I understand that. But we're accountable. Someone or something is a witness against you. By the way, stones crying out shouldn't shock us. Jesus, when he, at his triumphal entry, said if the people hadn't praised him, the stones would have cried out. Can you imagine that? I think about that sometimes and just wonder what that would have been like. Had the stone, what would they say? They'd say the truth. They'd say, praise him! Hosanna! Glory to God in thy... This is the Messiah! This is the anointed one! They'd tell what they saw. I got to thinking, you know, the devil's trying to line up witnesses against you. If you're lost, it means hell. And all it takes is one. You're guilty. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. You must be born again. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus, who was a good man. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Guilty. But this morning, I think probably the majority of folks in this room are Christians. And I think of the devil looking for witnesses. Now, let's be honest. He doesn't have to go real far in our day-to-day living to find some witnesses against us. And what a shame that is. What a shame it is that there would be so many things in our everyday life, like a 2x4 in our wall, like a pew that we're sitting on. Like if our car happened to be called as a witness, it wouldn't take a whole lot to find something in our lives that we'd need to get on an altar and say, God, please forgive me. Forgive me. Because I've not done what I said I'd do. or I have done something that I said I would not do. And I think right now the devil's accusing. He's accusing and accusing and accusing and accusing. Hey, you need witnesses? I got some witnesses. I think about some witnesses maybe from the past that could have been called. I think about Achan. And, you know, what a great story. The walls of Jericho fall down, but the night that the walls of Jericho fell down, Achan took the accursed thing, the thing that belonged to God, Achan took and hid them. Nobody knew. Nobody knew. Now, later on, God revealed that. But in my mind, I could just see the devil saying, he stole it. He stole it. I'll tell you, let's call his tent to the stand. Let's call Achan's tent to the stand. Let's hear what the tent has to say. And you know, the tent would have to tell the truth. Oh yeah, he stole those items. He took those items. God told him not to, but he took them. Would the devil use Achan's tent? Well, I don't know that he necessarily would have to, but certainly Achan's tent would have to say he's guilty. Guilty. By the way, you think nobody sees, but there's witnesses all around. If the stone is a witness, if the rocks cry out, if the board in the wall talks to the stone in the wall, why not? Why not? Achan's tent, guilty. I think about the sheep and the oxen after Saul defeated the Amalekites. And, you know, he was supposed to kill everything. Saul says, no, but God said kill everything, but I'm going to do God a favor. You never do God a favor by disobeying God, ever. It's not possible to do. And I just wonder, what if the devil said, well, let's call the sheep and the oxen here as witnesses. You know, because they would have to testify, no, he let us live. Saul can say all he wants to say. He can argue all he wants to argue. But the fact is, the law said, God said, kill everything. And Saul, you let him live. And here's a sheep to give testimony. I know that sounds kind of strange. But I'm just saying, what would witness against you? I mean, Achan's tent could witness against Achan. Sheep and oxen could have witnessed against Saul. How about David's roof? Maybe just one stone on the roof. As David stays home from battle when kings go forth to battle. You know, David, did you commit adultery? Oh, no. Well, let's call the stone that was on your roof as a witness and saw what you saw and saw as you gazed and saw as you made everything happen so that you could commit adultery that night. You say, oh, no, you don't understand. I get away with stuff. There are witnesses that would beg to differ with you that you're getting away with stuff. There are witnesses that, again, I don't know. You know, what really matters is not matter what a bunch of people think. It matters what God knows, and it matters what God sees, and it matters that an accuser is pointing his finger at you and saying, you did it, and I've got witnesses to prove you did it. And the truth of the matter is, you did. Because they did. I wonder if the disciples' money bag would be called as a witness. How many times it would testify that Judas reached his hand in and took some out. You know, I call the disciples' money bag. Judas, you're guilty. And Judas was guilty and called a thief in the scripture. I mean, a stone, a tent, sheep, oxen, a roof, whatever, a bag. There are items, there are things, there are people. There, you know, your life is not a hidden life like you may think. My life is not a hidden life like I may think. There are things that God Almighty knows about, and certainly He's God, He's everywhere. There are things the accuser is accusing you about, and I think he could line up some witnesses. I think he could line up the church pews. What do you think? He could line up let's call the church pew as a witness. Cause again, here you are, you know, you just come to church and everybody think, wow, they're in church and everything. You know, church pew testifies you talk the whole time during church. Church pew testifies as a witness that you texted the whole service. Yeah, just text the whole time. Pastor can't tell. Other people don't know. Yeah, just you know, I ask the question, why would you even come to church if that's what you're going to do? And God Almighty said, you know, I'm looking for another Job. I consider my servant Job. The devil says, you know, I can't find anything on Job, but that person, that Christian, the church pew will tell you, they goof off the whole time during church. They don't listen to anything. Huh? You say, preacher, I don't think that would really happen. But just think about it. Because, you don't think. It's like young people talking right now while I'm preaching. Church pew says they talk the whole time, goofed off the whole time. Don't pay attention any time. I think, by the way, that's a terrible testimony. That's a terrible testimony for us to not be able to say, I go to church and I listen. I go to church and I pay attention. I go to church and how many church pews would say they slept the whole time? How many church pews, would say they didn't put their phone away? Constant, the whole time. And God says, we're a called out assembly. We assemble so that we can get something from God, and we don't take that seriously. I wonder what your church pew would say. I wonder what your church pew would say goes on while you're at church. I wonder if that were possible. And again, I'm not looking for that to take place, but what would the church pew say? What would the downstairs, the foyer say? What if the walls could talk? What if they talk back and forth? Can you imagine that? And the devil says, I'm looking for some witnesses. Oh, well, I know that group of teenagers. Yeah, I know what they talk about in church. I know what they do in church. How sad. I know that group of people. Yeah, all they ever do, they just gossip the whole time. How sad. God says, consider my servant Job. I wonder, why he doesn't say, consider my servant so-and-so. Well, it could be because a 2x4 has something to say about you. Could be a stone in the wall has something to say that nobody else knows about. But there's witnesses against us. I mean, honestly, if a stone can be a witness, if the timber in the wall and the stone in the wall can be a witness, how about the shelf at the store? It's amazing. Amazing. How many people in this room steal things from the store? You say, preacher, come on. Hey, listen to me. What would an offering plate say? What would an offering plate say if it could testify? Huh? I mean, the accuser says, they never tithed. Well, if you steal from God, why wouldn't you steal from Kmart? If somebody would steal from God, why wouldn't they steal from Walmart? You say, well, you're talking about thugs. No, I'm talking about people in suits, ties, looking sharp today. How? Honestly, what would the offering plate say? Say, yeah, they always just pass me on. Never put anything in. How sad. How sad. But let's go back to that shelf at the store. I remember when I was pastoring in Bern, Indiana, a fella got saved, and it was just a few weeks after he got saved. He came to me, he said, Pastor, he said, God's really spoken to my heart. He said, I used to steal from and he named like 3 or 4 different stores. He said, God's laid on my heart. I need to pay those things back. I said, you do need to. And he went to every one of those stores. He apologized to those people. He said, I stole. And it was hundreds of dollars worth of items that he eventually paid everything back. How would you like to do that? How would you like to do that? How would you like to pay everything back? Again, if the shelf at the store where you grab that candy, don't think anything of it. You grab that item, think nothing of it. Come to church, I'm a good Christian. There's a shelf at the store that would say different. There's a church pew that might say something different. Amen. Could you imagine Satan? I got them all lined up here. Again, God knows who we are. God knows all about that. But in my mind, I think God would love to say, consider my servant so-and-so, but the witnesses are already lined up. Because our lives are not as squeaky clean as they may look. I think about, what about the coat rack down there here at the church? The coat rack. Wonder what it would have to say. We had a time, folks' coats, they had stuff missing out of the pockets. Can you imagine that? In church. Boy, I bet that coat rack would have a lot of things to say. That coat rack would have a lot of things, just like the offering plate. Can you imagine if they carried on a conversation with each other? All the stories that could be told. of people stealing, robbing God, robbing Christian people, robbing out of somebody's coat and then smiling. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. It's just hard for me to imagine. What if your desk at home was called as a witness? You know, your desk where you just cheated on your taxes. What about young people when you cheat at school? Your desk. Wonder what your desk would say. Oh yeah, during that test, they looked over at the other person's test the whole time. Do you know that's stealing? I know. That's white collar crime. You know, prison is prison, sin is sin, wrong is wrong. And that's wicked. You know, do your own work. Right? Some of you, your dining room table, what would it say? Well, they eat a lot. Yeah, it might. But roast preacher would be a topic. Oh, yeah, it's what they, you know, every Sunday, go home, talk about the youth director, talk about the pastor, talk about the Sunday school. You know, how sad. How sad that is. It's amazing. That's how people eat their dinner on Sunday. By the way, go ahead. Someday you'll wish they wouldn't have heard all that stuff. You'll wish your young people wouldn't have heard all that stuff. I guarantee. There's no question about that. How about, what if the parking lot could talk? Right now it'd say, I'm hurting. I guarantee. It's had a tough season, really. But you know, what all the stuff that goes on out in the parking lot, isn't it amazing? What if the nursery walls could talk? How about a little baby bed in the nursery? Huh? Yeah. Wouldn't that be something? But you know, again, if a stone can talk, if the timber in the walls, if the stone in the wall, if they talk to one another, if they're a witness, if a stone is a witness, why not the little baby bed in the nursery? Why couldn't that be a witness? You know, Satan says, well, ask the baby bed. It'll tell you what they talked about in the nursery with those little babies listening. He said, well, little babies, they don't pick up. They pick up on nastiness. They pick up on griping. You know what you ought to do? If you're working in the nursery, sing psalms to those little babies. Read the Bible to those little. This isn't time to catch up on who did what and why they did it and all that. Just take care of the little babies. Sing to them. Read scripture to them. Talk to them about the Lord. It amazes me. It amazes me. What would a little baby bed say goes on? Walls of the church, the gossip, unbelievable. Unbelievable, the stuff that goes on. And again, you say, well, God knows. God knows, yeah. Yeah, God knows, but the accuser can use it to prove. Telephone. Do you know now in court they use emails? They can find them. Everything you email, they can find that thing. They'll bring it back, and it will haunt you. You're texting, too. Nobody knows. Oh, yes, they do know. I guarantee they know. But you know, somebody else knows. God knows. He knows. In my mind, I could just see the devil saying, I accuse so-and-so, and here's their cell phone. And you would, by the way, people in court, I've got their emails, and it's like their face just changes. Oh. I've got their cell phone. Oh. What if the accuser pointed your emails out? What if the accuser pointed your texts out? I wonder how many Berean Baptist Academy students would really, if the accuser could come and just show us your texts. I wonder how many would be in real trouble. Just curious, you know. Or your emails. Or your Facebook that's hidden. You know. What if that computer screen, what if your history could be revealed on this screen right here, tonight in church? Some folks say, well, I know I wouldn't come. Yeah. Isn't that sad, though? Because that's your life. Isn't it sad that the devil knows those things? Because he's tempted us to do that thing. He's tempted you to goof off in the pew. He's tempted you to steal. He's tempted you to cheat. He's tempted you to do these things. And then he's going to point a finger and say, they did it! They're the ones that did it. They did it. He did it. She did it. They don't love you, God. Whew, that's a tough thing. And you would say, but I do love God. And the accusers, no, you don't. I've got witnesses to prove it. I got witnesses that'll prove that you don't love God. You steal from Him. Talk to the offering plate. You talk about His man. Talk to the dining room table. You send wicked emails. Go to the computer. Look at it. Wow. The accuser says, I call their television set. Oh. And do you have to call the television set? Oh, my. Yeah. See? That's, much of that's recorded, too. Yeah. Seriously. I call his dresser, some teen boy. What's he have hidden in there? By the way, parents, you can check their dressers. It's in your house. You're the parent. Oh, they'd really be upset. Oh, perish the thought. You can pull the mattress up, look under it. If you dare, you can look under the bed. I would wear maybe a mask or something, but you never know what you're going to find under a teenager's bed. I'm serious. You just don't know. It could scare you. But I'm just saying, you know, what could it possibly be that could testify? You know, could it be a magazine rack at the store? Give a glowing testimony of you? Often wonder, what if the devil were to call the back seat of a car as a witness? Or a couch where the parents have left a couple alone. Call that as a witness. Well, nobody will know. Well, their witnesses know. And by the way, God knows anyway. What about your car? You know, the devil says, I call this car as a witness against this couple. They look real nice and sweet when they walk into church. And they, God bless everyone and hallelujah. But they fought all the way here. Called each other terrible names. Says your Ford, your Chevy, whatever. I wonder what would your car say? What does go on in your car? What would your house say before church? You know, when we're going to church on a Sunday and people are fighting with each other? What, you see, it's just a tough thing. What would your walls at work say? You know, God bless you is what you say at church, but when you're at work, do you use God's name in a different way? I know your walls would know. I know a 2x4 that you stand by day in and day out, it would know. I mean, if a stone can hear, if a stone can be a witness, why not a 2x4 where you work? And Satan says, he's guilty, and you say, oh no, I go to church. I'm a good person. I do this and I do that. Well, I call the 2x4 where you stand every day, right next to it. I call it as a witness, and it would say the dirty jokes and talk about the language that you use and everything else when you go to work. How about that table at work where you eat and you never ask God to bless your food? You don't pray, but you pray at church. Or maybe the table in the restaurant where you never pray because people are looking, or you sneeze a prayer. You know, it's, achoo, dear God, bless the food, amen. So nobody knows you pray. I don't know, I don't think we ought to be ashamed of the Lord. Maybe it's a little table that's in one of our rooms here in the church, up here in the hall or something like that. Just a little table that sits in there, and somebody uses it maybe for a children's class or something like that. And couples have found a way, teenagers or young couples have found a way to sneak in there and, And I wonder what that little table would have to say. You know, about a couple of kids that say, well, I'm a Christian, I love God. And the accuser would say, well, no, you're on your way to losing your purity. You say, well, you don't understand. Nobody knows about that. Well, God already knows about it, and the accuser also knows. And he can just line up the witnesses. He can just line up the witnesses. If he'll use a, if God says that a stone can be a witness, and if God says that the timbers in a wall and they can talk about it, and if the stones will cry out in praise to the Lord, I don't see any reason why there aren't some other witnesses maybe against us. Would the walls at your home testify that you have devotions in your home? Would the little table in your home where in the middle of your living room, would it testify there's always a Bible there, or is it only there when somebody comes to visit from the church? And is it ever looked at? What would your Bible say at home? If a Bible, if it was able to testify, what would it say? Would it say that every day I'm open? Every day they read from my pages. Every day. What would it say? Those walls at home. What a place. That's where we're really who we are. You know that? You know, at our home. What would they say if those walls could talk? What would they say? Would they say that you curse at home? Fight at home? You know, every now and then a young person will come in. Oh, you don't understand. My home is not like you think. Oh, that is the reality, but it's sad. Well, how about your ink pen? An ink pen. It's just a simple little thing. What would your ink pen say? Would it say, I've been used to write some nasty letters? What if the ink pen was called? How about the ink pen being called? Did you write your tuition check? Tim, you should amen right now. No, I testify they did not write their tuition check. Really, that's what you have to say, huh? Yep. When I was preparing, I was looking around at things. I thought, my ink pen, what would it say? What would it say? What would my computer say? What would this say? What would the, right now the telephone would say nothing because it doesn't work. So you know, it's interesting. You ought to do that. I got to thinking, what would these glasses say? They wouldn't have a whole lot to say because they're pretty new. What would my old glasses say? Let's see, where have they been? And it is interesting when you start to think about what would all the things around me testify as to my life. Because honestly, most of the people don't have a clue what you're really like. But the accuser knows who to call. He knows who to call. Ink pen. Nope, they haven't written a tuition check in a long, long time. Do you know that if all the tuition came in that is owed over the years, I'd say 10 years, we wouldn't have laid anybody off. Would that be true? That is true. I thought so. Wow. But the pen could tell. Checkbook could tell. Yeah. What if our kitchen cabinet could talk? Well, we just keep a little liquor for medicinal purposes. You ever hear anybody say that? It's amazing how much medicine you need. Right? Those kitchen cabinets are amazing. They could tell a lot. You know, that bottle of liquor that's back there nobody knows about, but the cabinet would tell. How about the refrigerator? Now, right now, our refrigerator would say nothing because it's dead. It doesn't work. But what would the refrigerator, would it talk about the beer that's in there often? Again, I'm just, you know, we think, well, how about the drawer with the cigarettes hidden in it? Or the little hiding place in the house that has the cigarettes hidden in it. Nobody knows about it, but there are witnesses that do. So if a stone can talk, what if your walls could talk? What if those little nooks and crannies, there's little items in there that the accuser says, we'll call this, and yeah, You know, teenagers, those hiding places where you go. Yeah. That's why when the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out, you're never really alone. Your sin will find you out. It always does. That's why we have to be saved. Amen? I mean, understand, you have to be saved in order to go to heaven. You have to be saved in order not to go to hell. There isn't any other way. We're guilty. And there are witnesses that can prove we're guilty. And all it would really take is one in any of our lives. We're guilty. What if your shoes were to give a testimony? They'd say, well, I hold my nose. No. What if we were accountable for where we went? Can I just mention that we are? We should be. I got to thinking about my shoes and thinking, wow, what would they say? What would yours say? Mine would say, I don't go very far. And I really get tired of getting beat on that pulpit. But what would yours say? Would they testify about some of those places you shouldn't have gone? I thought about this altar right here. I wonder what it would say as a witness. Now, to be honest with you, this altar right here would say about many, it would say, don't know them. Who? But as I think about this stone here, I think about a covenant the people made. The people said, we will obey. And the stone said, or Joshua said, the stone shall be a witness. It hath heard all the words. This altar's heard a lot of words, hadn't it? Sure has. This altar's heard people come up and ask God to forgive them and help them in every area of life. Every area. Help me read my Bible. Help me read my Bible through in a year. Help me do right. Help me with this sin. And when you come to the altar, what a blessing. There aren't any tape recorders up here or anything like that. It's you and God, and that's the way it should be. But I just wonder, what if the altar were to be called as a witness? And did you make this vow? Well, the altar says you did. Now, have you kept that vow? Did you do what you said you were going to do? Did you read your Bible? Did you pray? Did you do what you said? Did you quit doing the thing you went to the altar to quit doing? Have you stopped being what you said you wanted to stop being? I think about the people of Proverbs on Wednesday nights wow. There's just so many areas of our lives as we deal with the people. It's pretty much everything. And I often wonder why there aren't more at the altar, just because it's everything. It's just every aspect of our lives. I think of the wedding vows that have been said at this altar. Talked about this recently. And they've been said and broken. And if the altar were to testify, say, yeah, you said it. Well, I didn't mean that. Well, it was very clear. You said better or worse. Can anything be any clearer than that? Honestly, what's not very good? Okay, it's worse. You said for better or worse. Right? Sickness, health. And Kathy is the model of keeping that vow. Why? They're just not doing real well right now. Okay, well, that would be sickness. Amen. Till death do us part. You see what I'm saying? The altar could be the altar at camp. I don't know how many have surrendered their life to do whatever God wants them to do, and then they ran from it. Jonah did that. Got swallowed by a whale. I'm just saying, nobody knows. Well, somebody knows. I wonder how many objects would testify of lies that have been told. I wonder how many glasses would testify of what someone's looked at that they shouldn't have looked at. How many contact lenses? I call the right contact lens of so-and-so. You know? Hey, you looked at that. No. I didn't. I glanced for 10 minutes. quite a glance. And then 10 minutes the next day, website histories. Is that what it's called? I don't know any of this stuff. Wow. Thank God for salvation. Amen. As I was working on it, I thought, thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, who cleanses us from all sin. This has just been a little brief thing. Can you imagine if your chat room was put up on the screen tonight that you go to all the time? Fellas, can you imagine? Seriously. Ladies, can you imagine if the chats you've had put up on the big screen tonight in church? It isn't going to happen. It can't happen. I understand that. But could you imagine if it did? You say, oh, preacher, I would just die. But why don't you think of that with your lifestyle? Why are we doing these things? Teenager, why? Some of the stuff on your phone is wicked. It's out of hell. It can be brought up at any time. But more than anything, Satan says, well, look at them. They don't love you. God, look at that person. They don't love you. Look at their cell phone. Look what's on their texts. No, I deleted it. Oh, yeah. Cell phone can tell. If a stone can. Look what's on their computer. Yeah. Be sure, the Bible says, your sin will find you out. I close with the idea that Jesus, he's my defense attorney. He is my advocate. When it comes to heaven or hell, he says about Doug Rogers, he says, not guilty. Not guilty. Not guilty. Not going to hell. And all he has to do is hold out his hands. If you're not saved today, you are guilty. You are guilty. You are guilty. The witnesses will testify, and all it takes, if we're guilty in one point, we're guilty of all. And the witnesses that the devil can line up against you, it's your whole life. It's everything you've ever done. You have sinned, as the Bible says. Now it's up to you to admit it and to come to the Lord and accept His salvation and be saved. If you've never been saved, you need to do that today. That would be the most important decision you ever make in your life. And Christian, it is such an embarrassment in my mind to think that the devil could say to God, look at so-and-so. You said, consider your servant Job. What about that person? What about that person at Berean Baptist Church? Look at them. I'll bring in their dresser, tell you what's in it. I'll bring in their car, let you hear from the car what they talk about. I'll bring in their television, I'll show you what they've been watching. I'll show you what they got on their computer. I'll show you what their phone says. I'll show you the pictures they've got. I'll show you the magazines they have hidden. I'll show you what's in their cabinet. I'll show you what's going on. And what an embarrassment that is. How sad that is for a God that loves us. That's why we need Jesus. That's why the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's why we need to confess our sins. I want you to go through your house. I want you to go through your life. I want you to think about all those things and confess those. It's easy to say, God, forgive me for everything. But I'll tell you what really takes care of your life is when you start confessing. And that is to say the same thing God says. You know, what have you written with your pen or have not written with your pen? Maybe you need to go apologize to an offering plate. Amen. Maybe you need to, when you get up to leave, say to your pew, I'm sorry. You know, I've been a lousy Christian during church. Maybe we need to go to our car and say, you know, I'm supposed to be a child of God, and my family, all we do in this thing, all we do is just fight. You know, car, I apologize to you. Now, if it's a Ford, you don't have to apologize quite as much, but... You know, just go to your TV today. Television, I'm sorry. I just cannot believe I've watched some of the filth and garbage that I have watched on this. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of the King. God saved me. I just can't believe. Altar, you know, I told you 2 years ago I was going to do this thing. I didn't tell you, but I told God kneeling right here. I cried. There's tear stains right there where I cried. And altar, I need to apologize. I really messed up. I have not done what I said I was going to do. Some of you husbands ought to. You stood up here and you looked at her like, oh, she's the greatest thing in all. And you've been a turkey buzzard. And you know you have. You said, I love her. You said, I'll do this. I'll take care of her. I'll cherish her. Cherish, cherish, cherish. That means love her more than you love you. Well, you need to come to this sacred spot here and apologize. And then you go to her and say, you know what? I'm sorry. I've been a lousy husband. I haven't kept my vow. Amen. Amen. Satan is looking for witnesses, and he lines them up. He's lining up witnesses against you and I. If you're saved, thank God you're not going to ever go to hell for your sin. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to God, that's wonderful. But you know what? As a Christian, wouldn't you like God to be able to say, I'm proud of my servant here. Consider my servant, and your name go there. And to know that there's not a whole bunch of witnesses, because you've gotten it right with God, you've settled it, and to the best of your ability, you're doing what you're supposed to do for God. Let's have that kind of testimony. Let's eliminate all those witnesses against us. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Kind of a different sort of message this morning. But I hope God will use it to inventory your life. There were numbers of things I could have said. Numbers of things in my own life and in your life. But let's just, you know your life. Take an inventory of your life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder if there's someone here who'd say, Preacher, I'm not saved. If I were to die right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anyone? Say, please pray for me. I do not know whether I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Anyone at all? Raise your hand. I'll pray. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'd like to pray for you. How many Christians would say, yes, I'm saved. I've already trusted Christ as my Savior. But God spoke into my heart about something specifically in my life. Please pray for me. Raise your hand all over as a Christian. Thank you. God bless you. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. And I thank you for the examples of Scripture. And Lord, I've often thought of those rocks crying out when Jesus entered Jerusalem. I've often thought what that would be like. And I don't want to know, because I want to praise you so that the rocks never have to do that. I want to be the one to praise you. I have so much to praise you for. But then I think, Lord, of all the things that could be called against me. And I'm so glad that that's under the blood. I'm so glad that those things from my past are gone. And I want the things in my future to be right. And I want to be the one that you say, consider my servant. And I pray that everyone here would want that as well. Help us to do an inventory in our lives, Lord. Please speak to us now. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. 471. Cleanse me. God's speaking to your heart today. You need to come. Come right now. As we sing, you come.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Any others need to come? Folks are here praying. You have a decision to make today. If you're not sure you're saved, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. God's speaking to your heart as a Christian, and you have something you need to pray about, then come, pray about it. All the things in our lives God knows. He already knows. Oh, He loves us. He wants to brag on us, I believe. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, doing right, obeying. What in our lives could testify of a different story? What in your life? Could be a simple thing like an ink pen, glasses, shoes, you name it. The key is, get it right with the Lord. Ask God to help you get victory in those areas. Look up this way, please. Tonight we'll be in Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll continue the theme of witnesses, all right? And 4:30, ensemble practice, choir at 5. No 4th through 6th grade choir because of the ensemble practice for master clubs, but 1st through 3rd grade choir will practice. Men's prayer, ladies' prayer, all at 5 o'clock. Then our church service at 6. Of course, teens at 5 as well. Church service at 6, and praise the Lord. Brother Don, close in prayer.
Father, we are thankful for the sacrifice that you gave and the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ for our sin. Lord, that we can come to you boldly before the throne of grace, but humbly before our God, seeking your mercy and your love and your grace for the forgiveness of sin. And Lord, because of that, may we go forth today from this place that the witnesses of our life might be positive in our relationship and our walk with others as well as with you. Ask your Holy Spirit would guide and direct, and we would listen to the still small voice of our Heavenly Father as we go from this place. For it's in your name we pray.